Well, it's so good to see everybody this morning, and happy Mother's Day to everyone who's here. You know, it is challenging to be a mother in this day and age. You know, some days mothers just don't have it together, and it's understandable, trying to take care of children and balancing all that you do. Sometimes we all struggle to get it together, especially to come to church. And so if you made it to church this morning, especially if you have young children, I congratulate you. This morning we got our children together, and typically what we do is when we get the children in the car, before we back out, we kind of do a head count to make sure that nobody's missing. And we got about 5 minutes from the house, and I looked down, and I realized I didn't have my tie. Turned the vehicle around, went back home, grabbed the tie, got to church, got all the way to the church, looked down and realized I didn't have my coat. So forgive me this morning. I, like everyone else, I'm just glad to be here this morning. And I'm glad that you are here this morning as well. Mother's Day is a challenging day, especially at church, to be honest with you. I was talking to several pastors this last week, and one pastor worded it like this. He said that it's really hard on Mother's Day. It's difficult for a pastor to figure out what to preach about. And what he meant by that is this. For some young mothers, they look forward to coming to church, and they expect and are excited about a sermon to encourage them to continue to be a better mother. Then for some people, Mother's Day is a really challenging day. You know, it's a reminder of the mothers that are no longer here. It's a reminder of the children that they have lost, or maybe a reminder for some who are unable to be mothers. And so Mother Day is very challenging. And so what we try to do here at Trinity is while we encourage the mothers and we celebrate Mother's Day, we try to keep Christ at the center. Because if we can keep Christ at the center, not only will it help mothers to be better mothers, but it'll help all those who are struggling, all those who are imperfect, to become more like Christ. So with that said, as we are going through the Gospel of Mark, through God's sovereignty, our message this morning just happens to be about children and how we can bring our children to Jesus. And so as we have been trekking through the Gospel of Mark verse by verse, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16. At the conclusion of our service, we will be having a child dedication service. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. It says, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you today. And Lord, it is a great privilege to be able to worship you here today. Lord, I pray that you'll be with each person this morning. Lord, for those young mothers that are looking for a word of encouragement, Lord, to carry on, to continue to be a mother and a godly mother. I pray, Lord, that you will help them to be encouraged this morning. Lord, give them the wisdom to know how to raise their children in a wicked world. Lord, for those who are struggling today, Lord, that this is a Sunday that they don't look forward to for various reasons. Lord, I just pray that you will give them a grace and a mercy and a love. Lord, help them not to be discouraged today, Lord, but help them to continue to praise you today. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, many of you grew up in a time period when you were told that children were to be seen, but they were not to be heard. Many of you grew up in a time period where children were just supposed to play in the corners and not really make a big scene. Well, then today we live in a time period where children are oftentimes put in the spotlight. We sometimes focus too much on children and elevate them, and it seems like everything and every situation is about children. Well, in biblical times, it was just the opposite of our culture. In biblical times, children were really just viewed as an unfortunate season between being born and being an adult. It was just viewed as an unfortunate season of life. So much so that children could be rejected. They could be killed without much thought at all. For instance, during the Roman time period, if a child was born, that child would be placed at the feet of the father. If the father were to pick up the child, it would show that he is embracing that child and welcoming that child into his family. But if he stepped over the child and walked out the door, it showed that he was rejecting the child. And the child could be killed or put up for adoption or just thrown outside. This is kind of the context of what children were viewed as in biblical times. They were just viewed as almost some type of a nuisance. And so if we have that understanding, let's examine this text. And what we're going to notice as we look at the text this morning is that there's four main groups of people in this text. First, we have the parents, we have the disciples, we have Jesus, and then we have the children. And this morning, as we examine this text, I want us to look at three questions. Three questions from this text I want to answer this morning. Question number one, what did the children want, or what did the parents want for their children? What did the parents want for their children? Question number two is this, what did the disciples want for the children? Question number three is this, what did Jesus want for the children? As we look at these three questions, I want you to answer the question this morning. Who do you most identify with? Do you identify with what the parents want? Do you identify with what the disciples wanted? Or do you identify with what Jesus wanted? And so let's just dive right in this morning. The first question is this. What did the parents want for the children? Look in verse 13. It says, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them." Now, this passage doesn't specifically say who they is, but it's clearly describing the context. It's describing the parents. Loving parents were bringing their children to Jesus. During that time period, children were considered anyone under the age of 13, so 12 and under. If you compare this text to the Gospel of Luke, it mentions and babies. So you have these parents that have these anything from a newborn baby to a 12-year-old boy or girl, and they are bringing them to Jesus. Now, whenever I read this text, I can't help but think about during the old tradition of people bringing babies to politicians to have them kissed. Now, I don't really know if this is a common practice, but you see it all the time. You'll see people that they bring their baby, the president or someone who's a politician will kiss the baby. And so I got to wonder, well, what's the history of that? And actually did a little bit of research, and apparently it's something in America we've always practiced. So much so that people were known to bring their babies to Andrew Jackson. Now, Andrew Jackson did not like babies, and he did not like kissing babies. There was one story told that a woman, I don't know if she worked as a chimney sweep or what, but she came and her baby was just covered in soot and dirty, and she brought it to the president-to-be and handed in that baby. Well, he looked at the baby and he said, "Well, wow, you're going to make a fine young man one day." Then he turned it to his vice president and said, "Here, kiss this baby." Sometimes we're guilty of that. We just want to pass the buck of children to someone else. But notice what the parents, what do they want? What were the parents' greatest desire? They wanted to bring their children to Jesus. They wanted the master to touch their children. They knew that if they could just get their children to Jesus, maybe everything would be okay. Maybe they would survive this journey of raising their children to adulthood. I'm reminded of the woman who bled for 12 years. And she told herself, "If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' cloak, I'll be okay." Maybe that's what some of these parents thought. Some of these young mothers thought as they were bringing their children to Jesus. "If I can just let Jesus touch my baby, it's going to be okay. If I can just let Jesus pray over my child, it's all going to be okay." What did the parents want? They wanted Jesus to touch their child. They wanted Jesus to have a relationship with their child. And so I ask you that this morning. What do you want with your children? If God would answer your greatest desire for your children, and God said, yes, I will give you your greatest desire. Whatever you have been praying for the most for the last year, the answer is yes. What would your children look like today? Would your children be rich? Would your children be some great athlete? Or would your children have a great relationship with God? These parents wanted Jesus to touch their children. Notice the next question we're going to attempt to answer this morning. What did the disciples want? What did the disciples want? Look in verse 13. It says, but the disciples rebuked them. And the disciples, they didn't have the same desires. They essentially said, look, Jesus is too busy. He doesn't have the time for your snotty-nosed little brats. Our Jesus is too busy doing ministry. He doesn't have time for children. And it uses a really strong word here in Greek. It uses the word rebuke. The word itself for rebuke, it means to largely reprimand or to censor. We've seen that word used several times as we've studied the Gospel of Mark. The main time it is used is whenever Jesus is rebuking a demon. Another time it is used is whenever Jesus is rebuking the winds and the waves. Now you learn a lot about a person by what they are rebuking. And instead of rebuking demons and instead of rebuking the wind and the waves, they are rebuking parents that desperately want to bring their children to Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly what they said. You know, we don't know if whenever Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves, he said, be still, be silent. In other words, go away, you're not welcome here. Perhaps the disciples, as the mothers were coming and bringing their children, they verbally said, go away. You know, our master's too busy, you're not welcome here. Perhaps physically they pushed them away. You can just picture a little child, you know, stumbling, running to Jesus, and a disciple just kind of pushing them and turning them around and sending them somewhere else. The disciples, what did they want? They wanted to be left alone. They did not make Jesus a welcome place for children or their families. And so, church, I ask you this question. Are you responding like the disciples responded? Jesus actually said that they were hindering the children from coming to Jesus. I want you to notice, third, what did Jesus want for the children? What did Jesus want for the children? Look in verse 14. It says, but when Jesus saw them, he was indignant. The word indignant, it means angry or outraged. Do you realize this is the only time in Scripture where it ever says that Jesus was angry? Now, there's several times whenever, one time he was describing the Pharisees, and it says that he looked at them with anger. And we know surely he was angry whenever he drove out the men who were trying to sell and turn church into a marketplace. But this is the only time where it actually says Jesus was angry. He was indignant. The word itself means to give a full unleashing of all of your emotions. That's interesting, isn't it? He didn't unleash all of his emotions on those people who were sinners. He didn't unleash all of his rage and emotions on those who were struggling. He unleashed all of his emotions on those who are trying to keep people from Jesus. He loved the little children. Notice what he says in verse 14. But he said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. So don't hinder them. Don't hinder the children from coming to me. I really love how the King James words it. The King James words it like this. Suffer not the children. Suffer not the children. Sometimes I wonder when I was reading the text in King James, I think perhaps the reason it says suffer not the children is sometimes whenever we work with children, we have to suffer a little bit, right? You work with children, you're a mother. Sometimes you have to make a lot of sacrifices. Sometimes you have to suffer in order to make sure that you are bringing the children to Jesus. Jesus said, suffer not. Don't hinder those children. Don't you keep those children from me. I was talking to John Perkins. He's our director of missions here in Warren County. And he used to be a pastor in London. And this is what he said. And I asked him, I said, what was one of the biggest differences between, you know, having a church here and having a church there? He said, well, things were very differently in how people worshiped over there. He said, well, how people worshiped over there is there was no nurseries. He said, how it worked is you would have a young mother and she would have all of her children, all of her babies with her, and they worshiped together. And he said at first it was challenging. You know, you'd see a mother struggling with her children. He said, but what would happen is you would end up having people work together. There'd be that loving grandmother that would come to the front and, hey, sweetheart, can I take your baby? I see you're struggling. Can I take your baby? And then come and sit in the corner and rock the baby so you can worship and you can listen. That's essentially the picture of what we sometimes need to do. We need to make church a place where families feel welcome, where babies are welcome, where babies and children are loved. Suffer not the children. Don't hinder them from coming to Jesus. D.L. Moody was a man who recognized how much Jesus loved the little children. D.L. Moody was a man who would preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit would just fall and people would be saved. He did revivals all over America. At one revival, there was only two people who were saved. And someone came and said, well, how many people were saved at your revival meeting? And he said, 1.5. And I said, oh, well, 1.5. Okay, I get what you're saying. You had one adult, that's the one, and the half, that's the child. And D.L. Moody said, no, I don't think you understand. He said, the child has his whole life to serve the Lord. That's the one. The adult only has half his life to serve the Lord. That's the half. D.L. Moody elevated children because Jesus elevated children. Church needs to be a place, of all places, church needs to be a place where children are welcome, where children are loved. We don't need to hinder children from coming to Jesus. So what did Jesus want? He wanted to love the children. He wanted to welcome them. Notice what it says in verse 14. Jesus said, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That's a great promise for anyone who has ever lost a child under the age of accountability. The Bible says this in the book of Romans. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Therefore, all are without excuse. However, for young children, infants, babies, those who have never fully developed, never fully been born, they are without excuse because they have never seen and witnessed the glory of God. And so therefore, this is a great promise to anyone who has lost a child, knowing that they are resting in heaven with Jesus. One of the greatest passages that describe this is the story of King David. King David was a man who, while a godly man, a man after God's own heart, he was imperfect. He made mistakes. He had an affair and had a man murdered. His young baby that was just born became very sick. And he began to cry and fast and refuse to eat. And he just laid down with his head close to the baby, crying out to the Lord to spare his child. He wept and he cried and he fasted for days. But then the young child died. Well, his servants were around him and they wanted to tell him that his son had died. But they were afraid to do so. They were afraid. They said to themselves, if he's acting like this, refusing to eat, crying and mourning, how much worse will he act when we tell him his child has died? Well, he recognized that they were whispering. And he said, has my child died? And they said, yes, he has. And he got up, he washed his clothes, he took a shower, and he began to eat. His servants were confused by this. They said, why is it that whenever your baby was sick, you were weeping and you were fasting and you were praying, but now that your child has died, why is it you're acting like everything is okay? King David, he said this, my child cannot go to me, but I can go to him. And that is a great promise to anyone who has lost a child, is that we will see those children again. Amen. That is, this text describes the love that Jesus had for children. As he continues in verse 15, he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. So here were the Pharisees that had all this head knowledge. They knew everything that was written in the Bible, but while they had a head knowledge, they did not have a heart knowledge. They did not have faith. And Jesus essentially says this, if you don't have childlike faith, you won't be able to make it into heaven. Children, they just have faith. You just tell them something and they're innocent and they just believe it. A lot of times we'll have a devotion late at night and I'll lay down with the boys and they'll say, Daddy, tell me about heaven. We'll just begin to imagine what heaven is like, and they're just grabbing every word because they just have faith. The same type of faith that we must have if we're to make it into heaven. There are some things that we read and we just can't wrap our mind around it. We say, Lord, I don't get this. But that's where faith comes in. You have a childlike faith knowing, Lord, I don't fully grasp this, but I have faith. I believe in you. If you've never done that, if you've never had a childlike faith to believe, I encourage you and invite you to do that today. You cannot be the mother that God wants you to be unless you have been saved, and it takes a childlike faith. You can't be the father that God wants you to be unless you have a childlike faith to receive him, or to have a childlike faith. Then I want you to notice what Jesus did for the children. Verse 16. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. You know, it's interesting. What did the parents want? The parents just wanted a touch. Just touch my child. That'll be good enough. But notice what Jesus did. He took it a step further. He took those children. I just kind of picture him just kind of sitting down. He just took those children. Oh, come to me. Put him in his arms. Just bounced him on his knee. He loved him. He loved him. He laid his hands on him and he prayed for them. Do we have that kind of passion for children? Do we have that kind of passion for our children? Do we have that kind of passion for children all over our county and all over the world? Jesus loved the children. He didn't just do the minimum. Sometimes we're guilty of that, aren't we? We just do the minimum. What's the least I can do to get by? But notice the parents said, just touch him, and he picked him up, and he loved him. We don't need to hinder the children. What did Jesus want? He wanted the children to come to them. So I want to challenge you. Sometimes we're guilty of hindering children. Parents, I want to talk to you for just a moment. One of the greatest ways that you can hinder your children from coming to Jesus is by placing things in front of Jesus, by making things a priority over Jesus. For some of us, it's busyness. We're so busy doing what we want to do that we don't take the time to bring our children to Jesus. For some of us, it's sports. We have made sports an idol. And instead of our children being excited about coming to church, our children are excited about playing sports and are never in church. We need to suffer a little bit in order to make sure that we are teaching our children. And I want to give you a little hint. It is not the church's job to teach your children. It's not the church's job. It is your job, Mom. It's your job, Dad. It's your job, Grandmother, Grandfather. It is your job. Because here's the thing. Let's say you bring your child to church every single Sunday for a year. You have brought your children and you have invested 60 or 52 hours. So out of a whole year, 52 hours, they are at church. They are at school 1,000 hours. And you still have about 7,000 hours left a year. What are you doing with your time? Because 52 hours is not enough to teach them about the Lord. The Bible says this in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Listen up, parents and grandparents. Says, "These words I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the ways, when you lie down, when you raise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on your frontals of your foreheads. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Well, in a nutshell, what is that saying? It's saying church shouldn't just be something, Jesus shouldn't just be something we do for 1 hour a week. It should be a lifestyle. As you get up, you're talking about Jesus. As you lay down, you're talking about Jesus. As you walk along the way, you are doing life with your children and you're teaching them about Jesus. You have 7,000 hours a year, mom, dad, grandparent, to invest in your children. But you only have about 18 years. And then they're gone. And you're going to look back and think, wow, why didn't I teach my children more about Jesus? Suffer not the children. Don't hinder them. I want to talk to you, church members, for just a moment and we'll be finished. There are ways that we as church members hinder the children. Several ways that we hinder the children. One is whenever we complain about them. When we complain about the children. Whenever we complain about them being loud or complain about how they act or we criticize mom or dad, we are hindering the children. Whenever we refuse to serve, whenever we refuse to help in the children's programs, whenever we refuse to help in the nurseries, we are hindering the children. Suffer not the children. Let's suffer a little bit at Trinity. How can we help? How can you help the children come to Jesus? First is to pray for them. Pray for your own children, just like Colin mentioned as he sung a few moments ago. Pray for the children at the schools. Pray for the children at the communities. Volunteer to help. Go and get them. Bring them to this church. And love them. Love them. A child quickly knows whether or not they are loved. I mentioned that D.L. Moody was a man that was known for great love. He had a church in Chicago. And there was one little boy who would walk past several churches every Sunday to go to his church. Finally, one of the men who constantly saw him pass his church came to that little boy and he said, "Young boy, you pass by my window at my church every Sunday. What's so great about his church? Why aren't you coming to mine?" This is what that little boy said. He said, "Because they love a fellow over there." I pray and I hope that our church is a place where people recognize and children recognize that we love little children. Permit the children to come to him. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will be with the parents that are here this morning, Lord, and the grandparents that are here this morning, that they are wrangling on how to teach their children about you. Help them not to give up on their children, Lord. Life is hard, life is messy, it's challenging. Lord, we know that you are for us in all these things, not against us. I pray that you will give each person what they need today, Lord. Be with those who are struggling with this holiday. I pray, Lord, that you will wrap your arms around them, Lord, that you will love them and that you will encourage them. Help our church to be a place where we don't hinder the children from coming to you, Lord. Help us to love children the way that you loved the children. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a parent or a grandparent here this morning, I want you to simply make this prayer. Say, God, I want you to forgive me where I have hindered my children. Give me the strength to help my children come to you. For those who are church members here, I invite you to have that same prayer as well. Father, forgive me where I have hindered children from coming to you. Help me to help the children come to you. I invite you to stand.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. Savior, holy thine, let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender.
Everybody here this morning, if you'd be seated for just a few moments, if you'll suffer with the children for a little bit as the parents are going to go get their children that are going to be a part of the child dedication service. And you know, while we are waiting them to get their children, I do have a few announcements. One is the baby bottles that you see up front. For the last few months, we have been collecting baby bottles. The purpose of those baby bottles are to help people who are in Warren County who are struggling with their children. Some of them are struggling so much that they're even considering abortion. The Center for Pregnancy Choices is a great resource for mothers who are struggling. They are able to go and get a free ultrasound to look at their child, and something about looking at their child will encourage them to keep their infant. Also, a reminder that as you leave, there's flowers in the front, flowers in the back. The flowers are for every woman who's here, doesn't matter how young or how old you are. We invite you to get one of those flowers on your way out. Also, a reminder that in honor of Mother's Day, we're not going to be having a PM service. And so if you will keep that in mind, thank your mom, and just enjoy the rest of the afternoon off. Let's wait for just a moment. We have one more getting their child. There's three of us who will be a part of the service. If you'll give us just a moment. Thank you. normally, whenever we have child dedication service, I do all of the service, but today I'm going to be a part of the child dedication service. And so I thought it would be very fitting if we have a good friend Timmy to come, and he's chairman of the deacons and just a meaningful part of my family, and I invite him to be a part of the service today.
Following families have come to the knowledge and professing their dependence on the Lord to raise their children. At this time, I'd like to ask Caitlin Bell Knighton, Ethan Andrew Knighton, do you, Caitlin Knighton, come to dedicate yourself to biblical instructions, discipline, and love of your child, Ethan?
Yes.
This time I'd like to ask for Brother Charlie and Leslie Harris. For you, Charlie and Leslie Harris, come to dedicate yourself to biblically instruct, discipline, and love your child, Ethan.
Yeah.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask Donna and Jessica Sharp. Do you, Donna and Jessica Sharp, come to dedicate yourselves to biblically instruct, discipline, and love your child, William? This time, I'd like to ask the church. Church, do you agree to support these parents by your example and through the acts of service, and do you agree to reinforce biblical instructions, discipline, and love of these children under the supreme rule of Jesus Christ? If so, you may stand, signify by standing. This time I'd like to read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall take them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You may be seated.
I'll close this in prayer. I pray for these families. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is an honor, Lord, to be a parent. And Lord, it is an honor to stand up here, Lord, with all of these parents as well. Lord, I pray that you will be with each parent and give them the wisdom, Lord, to know how to raise their child, Lord, in a world that is so wicked. But Lord, not only do we need wisdom, Lord, we also need strength. Lord, strength to follow through with what we know is right. Strength to get up each morning, Lord, teaching our children about you. Strength as we lie down at night, Lord, to have a devotion with our children. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with each baby that's here today, Lord. Two boys and one girl. I pray, Lord, that as we raise these children, I pray that one day they will call upon your name and be saved. Lord, I pray that they will have the Holy Spirit come upon them in a mighty way. Lord, use them as they are the next generation, Lord. Help them to walk uprightly. Lord, help them to resist every form of temptation. Lord, be with their future spouses, Lord. May they marry someone who is godly. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with our church members. Lord, I pray that each member will encourage us, Lord, be willing to suffer with us, and Lord, to pray for us day in and day out. Father, we love you and we do praise you. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be dismissed, but I invite you to come and the women to get a rose and come and encourage these parents as they are trying their best to raise their children in this world.